This is Ken Stringfellow of the Posies, Big Star, etc., and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. The two big stories this morning, we'll hear from Melissa Moore, the New York State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, about the proposal in the state legislature to make marijuana legal for adult use. We'll also hear from Nicole Harris, the president of the Schenectady chapter of the NAACP, and their lawsuit against ex-president Trump and Rudy Giuliani for violating the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate right after the local news. Stay tuned.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. Information is available at cdc.gov/COVID-19.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Woodhouse Pizza in Greenville, New York. The restaurant is located on the grounds of the Woodhouse Lodge and offers takeout, dine-in, and outdoor seating. Open Friday and Saturday from 4:30 to 9 p.m. Expanded hours start soon. Information at thewoodhouselodge.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You have tuned into the WGXC local news. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. I'm Tom Rowe in Accra. Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that paramedics in Greene County have been approved by the State Department of Health to vaccinate people in the field for COVID-19, officials announced March 26th. The paramedics previously completed the state's vaccinator training program and were able to assist at clinics run by Greene County Public Health, but they are now authorized to independently vaccinate residents, including the homebound. Greene County Legislature Chair Patrick Linger said, quote, Greene EMS could do a small pod in some of the more remote areas where it doesn't make sense to bring 15 or so personnel out to do a county pod. It has a lot of benefit to it, and it will definitely help us, unquote. Paramedics have already started vaccinating residents independently. Paramedic Nadine Mirzak vaccinated 15 residents in Catskill on March 25th. 14 paramedics are certified to administer the vaccines, Green EMS President Mark Evans said. Quote, "We're not taking any medics off the road," unquote, he said. "These are people that are off duty who come in to help us on their day off scheduling, and submitting the vaccination records to the state is handled by Green County Public Health," Linger said. Green EMS is administering the vaccine allocated to Green County. More than 5,400 Green County residents are now fully vaccinated, according to the state's vaccine tracker. Sign up for the county's vaccine notification system. Visit greengovernment.com/covid-sign-up. The link is available on the WGXC newsroom page. Porcupine Soup is reporting that the State Department of Environmental Conservation is asking residents to take down their bird feeders by April 1st to avoid attracting black bears. Quote, "Bears are emerging from their dens and have begun seeking out food sources," unquote, DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said in a statement. Quote, "Fish and wildlife staff at DEC have received reports of bears getting into garbage and pulling down bird feeders to eat the seed. It's important that homeowners take measures to prevent bears from easily accessing these unnatural food sources," unquote. According to the DEC, a black bear must consume 15,000 to 20,000 calories each day, and a typical bird feeder contains approximately 12,000, making it an appealing target for the hungry bear. In many cases, birdseed is the food of choice and will be sought out over other natural foods, DEC says. If bears become accustomed to feeding in yards and around homes and people, they may cause property damage and will likely become a nuisance. Feeding bears intentionally, which is illegal, or unintentionally through carelessness, has consequences for entire communities. In addition to taking down bird feeders by April 1st, residents are advised to store garbage inside secure buildings and to feed pets indoors. The DEC says bird feeding should occur only during the winter months when bears are in their dens. Birds are not do not require supplemental feeding, especially during the warmer months. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Chatham Town Board has rejected a plan to hire a consultant to work on the update of the town's comprehensive plan at the cost of $42,000. It's online, they reported in their online meeting March 18th. Board member and the Comprehensive Plan Update Review Committee co-chair, Abby Mezick, said the committee had interviewed six candidates and they were presenting Michael Allen of Regrowth Planning to the board. Board member Vance Pitkin voiced concerns, saying he was unsure hiring a planner would sit well with taxpayers. Pitkin also asked how the board got to this point, saying he remembered discussing a survey about the comprehensive plan update the committee was working on, but he did not recall talking about scrapping the plan and hiring a planner. Messick stressed the committee was not scrapping the current comprehensive plan, but argued they would get a superior product working with Allen and that he would complete the work in 1 year. She pointed out the town spent $60,000 on the 2009 comprehensive plan, and that took 3 years to finish. After the board voted down the motion to hire Allen, Messick asked the board to look at the proposal and decide what they would move forward with. She asked, quote, "What price tag do you think is reasonable?" unquote. Board member John Wapner said he would be comfortable with a survey. He said that he would not discuss a budget until he knows what the task for the planner is. At the same meeting, town supervisor Donnell Collins reported the town could receive about $419,000 in funds from the Federal American Rescue Plan. He said he had been to roundtable meetings with U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado and Senator Charles Schumer about the funds. Collins said he is now waiting information on how the funds can be used. Collins also announced that town assessor Daniel Horst will resign, effective sometime in July, to take the assessor position in the town of Kinderhook. In his letter of resignation, Horst wrote that by taking the new position, he would now be able to, quote, "run for office in Chatham," unquote. The board said they intend to find a replacement that Horst can train before he leaves. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain on Sunday, mainly after 10 a.m., with a high near 53. Showers likely Sunday night, too, 60% chance. Cloudy skies and a low around 32. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high of just 43, with breezy, windy day Monday. Then it'll be clear Monday night with a low around 29. Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 59 and a low around 40. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Radio for Open Ears.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elaine Shimono of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Radio listeners, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Tracy, and I'm the program director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Ghent.
I am Lena, and I am from Hudson.
I'm Fatih, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love. Books we hate.
And bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
So who wants to go first?
Can I go first?
Definitely.
So this is a book about bread. It's a really nice book. Eat Bread. Story by Joy. I don't know that word.
Do you want to spell it?
Yeah, it's C-O-W-L-E-Y.
Cowley, maybe?
Collie. Mom said to the twins, go and get the bread. The twins got the bread. They saw a hungry dog. Have some bread, they said. They saw a hungry duck. Have some bread, they said. They saw a hungry rooster. Have some bread, they said. They saw a hungry goat. Have some bread, they said. Mom said, where is the rest of the bread? Dad said, here it is. And that's the picture. And that's the end.
That's great. What do you like about that book?
I like the book because the twins are so kind and responsible.
They are really generous in that story.
Mm-hmm. And they have some bread up there, I think. And that's the story.
Nice. I have a question for all of you. Actually, it's a two-part question. I want to know, one, who is your favorite author? And two, if you could ask that author one question, what would it be?
Wait, so are you asking this to all of us or like?
Yeah, I want each of you to answer.
Oh.
I'm asking you, but I don't really have a favorite author, at least not an all-time favorite author. So it's a tough question. But I'm currently deeply involved in a love affair with Octavia Butler's work. And if I could ask her one question, I think I might like to know how many drafts she has to go through before she considers a story finished. Because they're just so rich. And I have to imagine that the first draft was something else completely. And I think it would be really encouraging as an artist and a writer myself to see like a really cruddy first draft of something that ended up great. But her first drafts are probably pure gold, so who knows?
I've got to say Shannon Hale, maybe, like currently. And what I'd ask her is, do you want to go get ice cream with me so I can ask you more questions? I'm that kind of person. I don't do one question.
This is the ultimate genie trick.
I feel like I'd probably do Raina Telgemeier, who is the author of Smile and Guts and many more books.
I almost did Raina.
And so I'd probably ask her like how she, I don't know what I'd ask her, but I'd probably be like, what compelled you to write this book? Yeah, like what compelled her to be a writer?
That's a really good question.
Baker is my favorite author because he made the Peppa Pig story.
Oh yeah, Peppa Pig is great. What would you ask him?
How did he make Peppa Pig?
Like how did he come up with the idea for the character?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to know.
I love Peppa Pig, it's so nice.
I remember when we went to England, my little sister, I think like since we were in England, we could mostly just get like Peppa Pig. So my little sister just watched Peppa Pig all day.
Yeah, she's so popular, Peppa.
Also, since we were in England, my parents' phones probably only able to watch English TV shows. Probably, unless they use something that can like rig their location. There is something, but such thing, but they didn't. I don't know if they used it. Anyways, yeah. May I please share my book last?
Sure.
I guess it's my turn. And the books I'm going to be sharing is literally Disturbed 2, More Tales to Keep You Up at Night by Ben H. Winters, illustrated by Adam F. Watkins. And it's basically just like a bunch of disturbing like poems, I guess, mashed into one book. And I don't really like this book because it's very disturbing, but I guess one of my favorites would probably be the Nasty Little Fairies poem, and I'm not going to read it to you, but yeah, I looked at the back, and there's a very disturbing picture. This is one of the reasons why I don't like this book.
What's nasty little fairies? What's that about?
Can I just read it to you? Because I'm not good at explaining stuff.
Is it radio appropriate?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Nasty little fairies. You think I broke the dishwasher by loading it with rocks? You think I went around the house unplugging all the clocks? You think I snuck into Wendy's room and let loose her pet frog? You think I shaved the words "I am a cat" on into the neighbor's dog? Geez, Dad, one awful accusation. Boy, Mom, what a wild imagination. It's clear that we have fairies, little nasty fairies. Surely that's the logical explanation. And there's like a picture of all of the stuff that happened together.
They're so mischievous.
Yeah, they are.
Do you think the boy, was it a boy? Do you think the boy is just blaming things on fairies?
I think it could be that the boy is blaming the things on the fairies. But then again, when I think about it, it could be that there are actually fairies or someone else is like blaming it on him. Because, like, I'm pretty sure he is the eldest. And I have the theory of whenever you're the oldest in the family, you usually get blamed for it because they don't think it could be the youngest, usually.
The youngest gets away with everything.
Yeah, but, like, sometimes they don't because sometimes it's either you blame it on the oldest or the youngest. Or the parents are blaming it on anyone but themselves. So yeah, it could be that.
Ideal to be the middle child is what you're saying.
it's ideal to the middle child. My brother just came out and he's over here like, yeah. And he's the middle child. So yeah.
Well, for me lately, I've been thinking a lot about how visual arts and music are used to tell stories in text. So I thought it would be fun to share an example of a book that, in my opinion, used those additional senses to enhance the story. So I thought of Renee Watson's Piecing Me Together. It's this amazing, rhythmically written story about Jade, who is this young Black girl from a poor neighborhood who attends a nearly all-white, super-privileged school in a richer part of town. Because she exists in these two contested universes, she struggles to understand her true identity, but ultimately she uses her art to help her find her own voice. So in the story, she creates these incredible collages using tiny bits and pieces of things that she finds around her house and in town to build detailed scenes that illustrate her experiences and her observations, some of her family history. And when I was reading it, the way that the author used language to describe these images was really powerful. The collages were just popping off of the page. It was immersive, and it's what I most appreciated about that book. Anybody else have any stories like that that they enjoy? When you feel like you can see what the words are describing?
Well, I have two of them. One of them is my absolute favorite book, which is called Get Ready, because it's a really long title. The girl who circumnavigated fairyland in a ship of her own making. That one is really descriptive and nice. Also, another is, I'm reading it right now, the Young Readers edition of Becoming, and I will probably share that in the future when I finish it. It's 400 pages long, so I've crushed about like 70, so I have about 330 left to go. So just warning you, might be a while.
Well, again, weekly,
so I've got time. And anyways, every day I just go outside, sit in my egg-shaped swing, for an hour and read.
Nice. What kind of imagery does Becoming use to tell the story? I haven't read that yet.
Well, it's a biography. No, autobiography. It's by Michelle Obama. It's her autobiography, and she just, it's a personal narrative, so she really describes it well because she's been in there so she can feel.
I read about Michelle Obama before.
That's great. Lena, did you have another book you wanted to share this week?
I don't have another book that I want to say, George.
Georgia, did you?
Okay, I am now prepared. Okay, so I thought I'd share a book. Well, technically a cookbook. I just read all of her cookbooks cover to cover because they're so amazing. Once I tried to make the cake truffles in this cookbook, it took me and my mom 6 hours. Though it was almost worth it. It was pretty much worth it because the cake truffles are so good. It's birthday cake. It's you bake birthday cake, ball it, cover it in birthday sam, which is like the dry ingredients of a birthday cake mixed together with sprinkles, blended, food processed, covered in milk chocolate. So it's like birthday cake covered in milk chocolate rolled in birthday sand.
Wow.
It's so good. But anyways, so it's called All About Cake. It is by Christina Tozzi. I am obsessed with baking, so she is my idol. She inspired me to bake. She owns these bakeries in New York City called Mamafuku Milk Bar, but most people just call it Milk Bar for short. And they have really amazing things there, and they make the cake truffles gluten-free. You can get them gluten-free, so I'm a big fan of that. They're all over New York City, and Christina Tozzi is also a judge on MasterChef Junior, and this book is called All About Cake. The recipes are completely mouth-watering. The cover is really cool because it's against black, so it looks like it's vibrant or something made with special material, but really it's just like regular colors. And so here this is. It's got pink and yellow truffles, which are really mouth-watering. And it's just got many recipes. And partly what I love so much about Christina Tozzi is that she is like a kid adult. Like in this, one of the foes has her in overalls doing jump rope. And partly what I love about her so much is she's like a kid. Like I said, she's like the maturity of adult, but also she has that like fun, big energy like a kid. And so when she is a kid, she really didn't like cake. She just eat the frosting because she found the cake boring. As she says in the book, I sat down and considered the things that bummed me out about cake. Cake flavors are dull and boring. Cake is usually overbaked to make it sturdy enough to be layered or topped. Cake is usually just one soft, spongy bite. Why take the time to make a cake so beautiful on the outside? It's just smooth fest when you bite in. And so there's really good photography in this book. It's really perfect. It really captures the desserts well. And she has this like several, like how many pages is it? She has about 30 pages that she does on how to prepare and like herself. It's really awesome. She has so many recipes in here. This is one that looks so mouthwatering. It's a cherry cola bundt cake. For radio listeners, it looks really good. I've never tried it because, you know, Coca-Cola. I'm only a kid, so can't have too much Coca-Cola in one.
Do you agree?
It calls for a lot of cola, but it looks really good. It's like a brown bundt cake, if people are wondering, it's a cake that is shaped like a donut. It just has like curves on each, at like curve, all the around. It looks like a donut with fancy like molding, but it's actually the size of a cake. And so it's a bundt cake with a pink drizzle all over it with mini gummy Coca-Cola balls around it, which looks really good. And here is the recipe that I made. Let's see where it is.
There we go. I have a question.
Yes?
Do you agree with the author that cake is generally bad?
What'd you say?
Do you agree with the author that cake is generally bad?
No.
There's no bad cake in your book. Not that book. I mean, the Book of Georgia.
There could be a bad cake. Like Christia Tozzi said, sometimes bakers spend so much time on the outside that they're just like, whatever about the inside. And what I go for is perfection on the outside and perfection on the inside. See, cake baking is a mix of science and art. First, you gotta focus on the science, what makes the cake taste so good, and gotta work on perfecting the flavor, and then you can think about the outside. I would like a cake a lot more if it was like looked like a pile of puke and tasted like the best thing in the world than something that looked like the like world's best decorated cake ever but tasted like puke. I'd much rather have the first one. Usually I like it to be cakes to be fancy, but when it comes down to the last bit, taste matters the most.
Well, thank you. We are just about out of time for today. I hope everyone out there listening has a good week filled with quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about more books. Until then, bye. Happy reading.
Happy reading.
Happy reading, guys.
Happy reading. Read about bookish things.
Check that your soul can't cash.
Check your soul.
Thieving in a suit and tie, gentlemen. You murder, you civilized. You thought the summer never said it.
Check your soul.
You thought the summer never said it.
Check your soul.
Did your mind write a check that your soul can't cash?
Check your soul.
Thieving in a suit and tie, gentlemen. You murder, think you civilized. You thought the summer never said it.
Check your soul.
You thought the summer never said it.
Check some.
Just thieves in a suit and tie. Just thieves in a suit and tie.
Africa hot. You rolling up your ties, coats and socks. Cause you said the sun would never set.
Check your soul.
You said the sun would never set.
Check your soul.
Africa hot. You rolling up in ties, coats and socks. You said the sun would never set.
Check your soul.
You said the sun would never set.
Check your soul. Check your soul. Check your soul.
Just thieves in a suit and tie. I'd be African. Come on. Just thieves in a suit and tie. Come on. Just murder in a suit and tie. Come on.
never encouraged Americans to get vaccinated.
Trump promoted the shots, not whine about getting credit. Like when he got his prick, no mention he was getting it. Please take this remedy, make COVID a memory. And when it's time, get vaccinated, please don't decline. Get your shot and we can get concerts and sports events. The summer could be so nice.
Please just get your vaccine. We're so close to our dream. Put an end to this quarantine.
Really want an indoor time.
Thank you, quote.
Definitely no surprise. Anti-vaxxers are spreading lies.
Damn it, why?
The administration would like you to take this vaccine. Joe Biden told you last week, if you don't, you can't celebrate the 4th of July.
With so much hesitation, we'll never get out of this mess. Screwing the nation, of course, it's the Republicans. Voters all said Biden, now thank God we've got Biden. And now, incidentally, the case does have declined. Vaccines, a miracle from science.
Miracle.
Need everyone's compliance. A shot or two will suffice.
Please just get your vaccine. We're so close to our dream. Put an end to this quarantine.
Guarantee that you'll be fine.
These are safe and effective products.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Art Omai in Kent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk. Art Omai Sculpture and Architecture Park presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Now accepting advance registrations for visits on weekends and select holidays. Information at artomai.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Can we say fun excluded workers?
Fun excluded workers!
No somos uno, no somos cien, somos millones, cuéntenos bien. No somos uno, no somos cien, somos millones, cuéntenos bien.
What is the action that's taking place today?
My name is Vanessa Godello. I'm with New York Immigration Coalition. I am one of dozens of fasters, hunger strikers, who have made the decision intentionally to stop eating because there are hundreds and thousands of workers and families across New York State who do not have that choice because they have been starving without any financial relief in sight. For the last year, hundreds of thousands of workers have been locked out of being able to access unemployment benefits and the federal stimulus packages, the same financial relief that so many of our workers have been able to benefit from and use to recover from this current pandemic. And we're fighting to ensure that the state step up, tax the rich, especially in a year where we've seen billionaires only increase in our state. I believe we started off with 117 at the beginning of the pandemic. Now we're at 121. That is just criminal that money is being made while people are starving. So we're here to demand that the state step up, create a fund that is on par to unemployment benefits so our workers are able to live in dignity and get the justice that they deserve.
My name is DeWedo, and we are protesting for excluded workers. We're trying to get New York State to pass $3.5 billion to help fund the community, help fund farmers. So we're passing out flyers, testimonies, apples that were produced by excluded workers who are not able to get any funding from COVID relief, any unemployment, any food stamps, anything like that. So we're just trying to see if New York State will help the excluded workers.
Hey guys, we have farm workers with us today giving out free apples.
Oh, thank you.
We feel like the hunger strike is kind of what we've been going through COVID. So it's really no different. So we just want to show people like this is an intentional thing that we're doing, but COVID wasn't intentional. Nobody asked for COVID. Nobody wants to be hungry. Nobody wants to be homeless. So we feel like taking a drastic move like this maybe would get some attention from the powerful people up in the legislative body and the Senate and hopefully Governor Cuomo.
This is do or die for our communities. Our communities have been suffering, and this is our way of saying no more.
We are here here today to demand $3.5 million for excluded workers. People from across the state are here today, and we're on hunger strike to tell our representatives that we can no longer be excluded. We need the worker bailout fund, and we can't wait any longer. Reverend Catherine Bilkey.
It bears witness for all of us the sacrifices to be made for social change and to imagine a world together where all people are treated with dignity, equality, and justice without exception.
Our next speaker is Duedo, a Columbia County Sanctuary Movement member.
I came here when I was 5 years old to the United States. This is all I know. I went to high school in the U.S., college in the U.S. I actually just recently got released from an ICE detention center, which I was there for almost a year. And in these detention centers, it's overcrowded. There's a lack of information, which got even worse due to COVID. Lack of families being able to visit, lack of families being able to know what's going on with their loved ones. Now that I'm back in my community, I see the severity of COVID and how it made a bad situation even worse. I'm now looking for work and seeing how few jobs there are, and it would have already been hard enough to find work with a record before COVID, it's almost impossible. Folks recently released from incarceration and cash economy workers like the farmers and everybody, that these people really are not taking into consideration the things that they provide and give to the community, like the apples that we're passing out, the milks that we're passing out, things that people use every day and don't think about who it is that's working to make that happen. The disparities happening now are going to impact my community for years to come. New York State really needs to step up to the plate and help our communities. Immigrants pay taxes. For some reason, there's this idea that we don't add or stimulate the economy, but we do. We buy cars, we pay for gas, we pay to send money to our families in other countries. We buy food, we buy clothes, we pay rent. With a budget that focuses on community needs, people can come out of the shadows and thrive.
I'm Sarah Curtis, she, her, with the Worker Justice Center of New York from Rochester, drove here 4 hours. All of this suffering is unnecessary. New York has the resources to provide all workers with the support they need and deserve. The workers who risk their bodies and their wellness every single day, who pay taxes, are entitled to live in dignity in a state as wealthy as ours. We echo the demands for $3.5 billion for an excluded worker fund, equal to what all other New Yorkers have received during the pandemic.
Next, we have Nelson, a directly impacted member from Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. Vamos, Nelson!
Thank you, Ayan Nelson. Tomando en cuenta que somos nosotros los que estamos en la línea, en frente de la pandemia, somos los que producimos en el campo, somos los que producimos leche, los que producimos carne.
I'm going to translate what Nelson said. He had some very powerful words, and he wants to be heard. Taking into account that we are the ones on the front lines, we're agricultural workers, producing foods for ourselves and all the families in our country. We're maintenance workers, construction workers. We need these funds because we have debts. The pandemic is affecting us all, but there is a population that our government is forgetting. We pay taxes, but we never receive. What good does it do when we protect ourselves with gloves, a mask, spray, disinfectant on every common household item, but the government does not protect us at all. I'm afraid to get the vaccine because if they don't want to help the immigrant population with funds for us during this time, how are we going to feel safe with the vaccine? If it is something foreign to us when the government says it wants to help our population. Giving funds for excluded workers will lower the numbers of the virus. We need systemic change, and we need systemic change now. We are excluded workers, and we're asking you to help us. We're not one, we're not 100, we're millions. Count us right.
Muchas gracias.
Next, we have Sonia from the Worker Justice Center of New York.
Desde que empezó el COVID-19, me ha afectado mucho con mi familia. Quedamos sin trabajo y sin renta. Hasta ahorita no tengo trabajo. y recursos económicos para conseguir una renta.
Thank you so much. I'll be translating it into English. My family and I have been very affected by COVID and the beginning of the pandemic. We lost our jobs, and to this day, I am unemployed, and I do not have any resources to pay for my rent. The resources we are asking for will be a great help to us. With that money, we can buy food, we can pay for rent, and pay for utilities. I want to thank those who are already supportive of the bill, and I need to urge those who are not supportive of the bill to consider the families that are on the line.
Recursos. Muchas gracias.
The next speaker will be Vanessa.
We know that their pain, the stress, the hunger is nothing compared to what they've been feeling for the last year. Hundreds of thousands of families all across the state shut out from any relief during a global pandemic, despite having contributed into the system. We need to remember that our families, these workers, have been suffering prior to this pandemic. This pandemic has only shown a light on these injustices, but these workers deserve the same safety net that is granted to every other worker, every other laborer. Their labor is no less valuable just because they're immigrants. Their labor is no less valuable just because they were formerly incarcerated. This is about dignified living, this is about justice, and we won't stop until our families, our workers, get what they deserve.
I'm Assemblywoman Jessica Gonzalez Rojas. I just stopped by because I saw my people, who you are my people here. I'm fighting for the $3.5 billion for excluded workers. I know you all have been on the front lines, and you have risked your life to save the life of others. And it is unconscionable that you don't have this money, that this money is not available for our communities.
Justice! And our last speaker today is Sochi Mayo, our healer, who will be breaking your fast today.
Las fuerzas y los aliados, amada justicia, te vengo a decir. Somos tus hijos y vamos a ti. Amada justicia, te vengo a decir. Somos tus hijos y vamos a ti.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
Oh, my God.
Just heard Umar Kanate with Heya Deheo. This is from the indestructible beat of Soweto from 1986. Udo Katila Shange Namajaha with Soba Bamba.